You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
About Billy Joe and Bobby Sue, it might be about a corrupt president who thinks it's completely fine to pervert the apparatus of the United States to make himself and his billionaire buddies richer. Hello, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. Good afternoon. I hope your Thursday is clipping along. We're here to have some great discussion, talk about some news with one another this afternoon. You want to join our discussion, 855-752-4842. Thanks again to Dan Connor, an attorney from Chicago, a leader in the American Bar Association, who literally wrote the book on the Chief Justices, who helped us break down what I'm going to call an unabashed double standard that we see in the federal courts. And that is one standard for reviewing policies and administration decisions that come from Democratic presidents, and a completely other set of rules and practices and processes for Donald Trump. And they're not the same. And that's simply not the way the legal system's supposed to work. I wanted to give you another little bit of legal wonk before I move on to what I'm going to call corruption out loud in living color on live TV, or at least on social media, in a moment. Here's the other little bit of legal wonk that I wanted to share with you. If you're a longtime listener, you know that I clerked for a federal appeals court judge, a two-time Reagan appointee judge. His name was Michael Caney. When I was his elbow clerk for a year following my graduation from the University of Wisconsin Law School, we never, not once, no, not ever, talked about politics. And we heard cases ranging from review of a jury sentencing someone to the death penalty in Indiana, which was the most uncomfortable case I ever advised my judge regarding, to issues of intellectual property and trademark and copyright, to issues of due process and other criminal cases, the whole gamut, as well as corporate disputes and all kinds of different cases. Never asked me who I voted for, never asked me a question that even smacked of partisan politics. That's the way it's supposed to be. And there's one other area, not one other, but like two other big areas within the legal system that are supposed to remain free from overt partisanship. And that is obviously, and we talk about this a lot, law enforcement, whether it's local, state, but most especially federal law enforcement. So no one's supposed to be targeted because they speak publicly or privately in support of any particular candidate, cause, or political party. No one's going to be prosecuted for those things. Our penalties shouldn't be higher because of our political preferences and beliefs. This is foundational, right? So again, your courts, your judges should be apolitical. Your law enforcement apparatus should be completely apolitical and walled off from political influence, which is the opposite of what Donald Trump wants to do. And he's been saying that out loud through the entire campaign. Right? I want retribution. I will be your retribution. That's not independent law enforcement. The other area of the legal system that is much less known to people, but is no less important, is the kind of job that I used to do for Milwaukee County. These are the government lawyers who represent the government in civil legal matters and litigate mostly in defense of policies and laws adopted by different governmental jurisdictions. In most states, you think of the attorney general and most people think of law enforcement, but oftentimes the attorney general in states also serves this incredibly important civil legal function. Okay, so at the state level, they're often combined in the attorney general's office. That's why, for example, Josh Call often speaks about criminal law enforcement action, but also we'll talk about civil enforcement actions. If an individual challenges a state law, he would be responsible for defending the state law. In Milwaukee County, for example, I was that person from Milwaukee County. I defended and was responsible for the civil defense in lawsuits that individuals would bring challenging Milwaukee County practices or procedures, or if they were hurt by a county employee or on our premises. And in the county, of course, then you have district attorneys that handle criminal representation, or excuse me, criminal prosecutions. But if we go back to the federal government, we know that the attorney general handles criminal matters along with the FBI. But very few people, if I asked you or told you, hey, there's this office called the Solicitor General's Office, most Americans would be like, who are you talking about? I have never even heard of that. And the Solicitor General in federal government is the lawyer that is responsible for defending administration policies and laws that are adopted from challenges. It's an incredibly important role. And for decades, the standard in the Solicitor General's office, which is tiny, 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 less than 100 people, all lawyers and para-support professionals and all those, less than 100 people, if you think about how huge the U.S. Attorney's offices are and the Attorney General's offices are, yeah, those are massive. So the SG's are very small. The SG's office for the last 50 years has always tried to approach its defense of policies and laws from an incredibly nonpartisan perspective. That arguments in defense of laws were always tested by this fundamental principle. Does this improve? Does this strengthen the rule of law in these United States? Does this advance our civic interests writ large? Now, they'd take any case, but the sort of arguments that they would make, the manner of presentation, had this very stalwart, apolitical, completely independent component to it. That was essential to the work of the Solicitor General. That is no longer the case. The lawyer that argued that Donald Trump and presidents are kings before the Supreme Court is now the U.S. Solicitor General. And the office has become, in conversations that I've had confidentially with people that know folks in that office, has become overtly hyper-partisan, that there is no longer any reflection on whether or not advancing this argument, but not this one, in defense of the Trump administration's policies, which he is entitled to that defense by the Solicitor General, there's no thought about whether or not this improves the quality of the rule of law, the fairness of the rule of law, if it improves our democracy. And as a result, there is a mass exodus of folks that have worked decades, that are some of this nation's most revered federal litigators, from the office of the Solicitor General. This office is so important that the Solicitor General is often referred to as the 10th Supreme Court Justice. So I wanted to share this with you, share a little bit of my experience, a little bit of my background here, because this is one of those wonky, beneath the radar, it's not a sexy thing that people talk about a lot, but it is deeply important to the functioning of the rule of law, and yet it is being undermined every day now by this man who argued straight-faced to the Supreme Court that presidents are kings and that if Donald Trump ordered SEAL Team 6 to kill a political opponent while he sat in the Oval Office, that he would not be subject to prosecution, criminal prosecution, therefore. And I want you to also recall that, or know, that within the Solicitor General's office, other than the Solicitor General him or herself, and his or her principal deputy, who are appointees, the rest of the individuals that work in that office are civil servants and protected by civil service rules. All of this is going by the wayside. It is yet another indication of why we should be very afraid, concerned, of what Donald Trump is doing to the rule of law in this country. We've got one of our regular callers on the line, Dick from Madison. Thanks so much for your patience, sir. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on everything you just said. But yesterday, this ridiculous stuff, and then he backs down. I would call it the art of the retreat. You know, and then you go forward with what's going on today, and then it drops, what, another 1,000 points?
Oh, yeah, I've got it up right now. I think Dow Jones is down 1,000. It's down 1,000 points.
They closed at about a little over 1,000. So, you know, I got to thinking, who else in our history was as bad as him? General Custard. And then I knew how bad he was, but I looked up some things, Maggie.
Yeah.
Tell me he doesn't have things in common with this guy. Here they are. He was threatened to be expelled from West Point all 4 years he was there.
Wow.
Graduated dead last in his class. And he also was court-martialed, but then it was overthrown at some point for some dumb reason. Mm. And then we all know how it ended. But, yeah, this thing, too, yesterday makes Martha Stewart look like a biker.
No kidding. Dick, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you for setting the table for what I want to move to yet. What I wrote down on my arts was not the art of retreat, not the art of flip-flop, but the art of open and obvious corruption that you're nearly certain to get away with. Who's benefiting from Donald Trump's unforced errors, his chaos economy? There are people making out like bandits, including Trump himself. We can do better. We deserve better. We discuss next right here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. Our great discussion continues on the other side. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Radio. I'm certainly cringing. Can't listen to the song ever again after the thing that launched Donald Trump into the collective consciousness of Americans. He's still running a reality show, is he not? It's just not called The Apprentice anymore. It's called I'm the President of the United States. From apprentice to president, it is still chaos and a bunch of baloney. We're going to talk about it this half hour-ish or so, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our conversation as we dig in, 855-752-4842. Well, ladies and gentlemen, after a brief respite yesterday in the markets, crashing again today. It has been anything but a well-thought-out approach to tariffs. And the volatility that you are seeing in global markets, and certainly here in the United States, is the cause of is the result of one man's decisions. This can't be spread out to a bunch of advisors. Donald Trump has basically claimed responsibility for all of this. And to what end continues to be the question, right? And I've said to you that there's always been two ends, that Donald Trump and other billionaires will get more wealthy, and Donald Trump likes to have his butt kissed. He told us that literally in his own words yesterday. I don't know, Cal, if you can find that clip of Donald Trump saying how much he enjoyed all these world leaders calling him up and kissing his butt. Cal's got it. Let's take a listen.
In the history of our country. And don't let some of these politicians go around saying, you know, because I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal.
Deals made, or not a single deal at all. Donald Trump walking back the imposition of reciprocal tariffs. Now, it's incredibly important to point out a couple of things here. First of all, tariffs on China are somewhere north of 140%. That's according to Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary today. That is in total a whole bunch of new tariffs layered on by Donald Trump. And Donald Trump walking back reciprocal tariffs did nothing to address the tariff levies that were already in place that were not reciprocal tariffs. Okay, so I just want to, these are all as table setters. So all of this volatility, all of this up and down and sideways and uncertainty is not only wreaking havoc on people's 401ks, it'll make things more expensive. Your dollar will go less far. But as we all know, when the middle class is taking it on the chin, somebody else is getting real rich, real fast usually. And in this case, would it surprise any of you to hear that the single best day for the world's billionaires in recorded human history, that they got richer yesterday than at any other point in time in recorded human history? That the chaos, the volatility, the inflation that Donald Trump has created single-handedly, the recession that many think we are inevitably headed towards that will cost all of us so much more, in one day made the billionaires of this world richer than they had ever gotten in any single day in recorded American history. And leading that enrichment total, the two guys that got richer than anybody else yesterday, would you be surprised to hear that it was Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg? I'm sickened by this. Would it surprise you also to hear that Donald Trump encouraged people to buy yesterday morning, a mere 4 hours before he walked back and paused his reciprocal tariffs? Now, in normal times, that would look like insider trading. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've heard from some of my friends that still work on Wall Street and with large financial firms and in venture capital and for some angel funds and angel investors and in some hedge funds, because I've been texting folks because I want the inside dirt and I like to bring it to you. So I'm going to share what they've been telling me over the last couple of days. And I got a flurry of text messages last night after the markets closed and I got off the air with each and every one of you. So I'm going to share a bit of what I've been hearing from them. But the very fact that Donald Trump posted on social media 4 hours between before he announced to the world that he was going to hit pause for at least 90 days on his reciprocal tariffs, sending the markets up, that he told everyone to buy, again, if I'm Martha Stewart, I'm really ticked off because people have spent time in federal prison for less. Martha Stewart couldn't control the markets. Donald Trump does control and impact the global economic system every single day with this nonsense. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And not only did Donald Trump, of course, telegraph this. Again, I'm going to call it insider trading. What did he do today? Excuse me, late yesterday afternoon? He celebrated that he has made his billionaire bros richer. This was said in the Oval Office as he was talking to Charles Schwab. None of us know Charles Schwab personally. We think it might be an entity, but it's actually a person. Cal, let's listen. You got to listen real close here, folks, and I'll tell you exactly what he said. But let's listen as Donald Trump celebrates our pain and his billionaire bros gain from the chaos and terror Trump's tax tariffs have created.
This is Charles Schwab. It's not just a company, it's actually an individual. And he made $2.5 billion today, and he made $900 million. That's not bad. You know, he's in financials. I've always been.
He made $2.5 million today, pointing to Charles Schwab, and he made $900 million, pointing to Roger Penske, a NASCAR team owner. Our pain, their gain, that's the Donald Trump economic policy. Handouts for billionaires and corporations, nothing but more pain for you and me. We discuss more when we come back. Join this great conversation, 855-752-48.
Change, change, change. Change, change.
Do you want to be the sucker? You want to be the mark in the world's longest con? I'm going to guess not. And if you don't want to be the mark, it's time we actually see, without our rose-colored glasses, what is going on. It ain't the art of the deal. It is the art of the steal. I explain right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842. Donald Trump's chaos in the economy is making the billionaire class richer. There are tariff levels in place that we haven't seen in this country in decades. Donald Trump has got tariffs slapped on China north of 140%. That's going to make consumer goods almost 1.5 times, 150% more expensive than what you're already paying. We have yet to feel the pain. What are tariffs also? It's a sales tax, a regressive sales tax, because the poorer you are, the greater the proportion of your income you have to spend on consumables, like food and gas and housing and pharmaceuticals and clothes. And that means that those who spend the largest portion of their incomes, if not all of it, the poorest among us, face the brunt, the worst portion of the tariffs. The less you spend on these things, the less it impacts your overall financial security. So while Donald Trump is busy burdening the middle class and working people with his terror taxes, at the same time, he's promising, and the House of Representatives today adopted a budget reconciliation package that will give the largest set of tax cuts in the history of our country to billionaires. All of this, while the chaos that Donald Trump has created is making the billionaire class even richer. And he knows it and said it out loud yesterday in the Oval Office, lest anyone forgot. Cal, let's take a listen again. This is Donald Trump talking to Charles Schwab and Roger Penske, who respectively have net worths north of $12.6 billion and $5.6 billion, but who just got way richer because of all of Donald Trump's tariff chaos. Take a listen.
This is Charles Schwab. It's not just a company, it's actually an individual. he made $2.5 billion today, and he made $900 million. That's not bad. You know, he's a financial.
I've always been.
Now, you might think, ooh, what subversive, progressive operative got that piece of audio and put it out there for everyone to hear? No, no, no. The person that took that audio and video and put it out for the world to see and hear, because apparently it helps make the case for Donald Trump, was Donald Trump's special assistant, a woman by the name of Margot Martin. She's the one that took the video with that audio and posted it. Why would you want to be celebrating and publicizing the fact that you're making the billionaire class richer? The two biggest beneficiaries of the chaos to date have been Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Unbelievable. The world's wealthiest people raked in a heaping $304 billion yesterday. Elon Musk alone making $36 billion. Insider trading, we used to identify and know, was illegal. Do you think the Securities and Exchange Commission is going to get right on this? This is overt corruption out loud in front of the world for all to see. And Donald Trump celebrates it. By the way, what I told you yesterday, if you were listening to the show, that the chaos in the bond markets was the harbinger of potentially a world global economic meltdown. Yeah, reporting today across the media, whether you're looking at the Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, London Times, pick Barron's, pick your outlet. That is what people are saying prompted Donald Trump to put a pause on the reciprocal tariffs, a very real fear that the entire global economy was about to tip into complete meltdown. And mind you, unlike our most recent meltdowns of 2008 and COVID times in 2020, this would have been a global financial crisis caused by one man. And one man would have been exclusively responsible. Ali from the Northwoods, you're up. How are you this afternoon? What do you have to say?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say that this outright telling people what he was going to do has started way before, like last week when he should have been at the service for the four fallen soldiers from Lithuania. He was instead out on the golf course, and he said straight out, today's a good day to get rich. And so he's not been hiding this under a bush, under a basket. He's been letting everybody know. And one particular blonde, I forget what Crockett called her, but made quite a bit of money during this time, because before he announced the tariffs, she sold her stock and bought bonds. And then when bonds went down, she sold the bonds and bought Apple and
Ali, I know where you're going with this. Let's be bipartisan for a moment here. There should clearly be rules that prohibit elected officials in the federal government that sit on committees that have oversight and insider knowledge of what's happening in the markets or with particular regulatory approvals or disapprovals, mergers, et cetera, FDA, oversight of pharmaceuticals and medical devices. That should all be absolutely prohibited. You cannot own any stocks indirectly or directly where you have information related to that industry or sector. That should be illegal. I hate seeing it. It doesn't make what Donald Trump's doing any less reprehensible. Now, I promised you I would share what I have heard from some of my friends that still work on the insides of the financial industry. I'm going to share with you a text message that is pretty explicit. And here's what one of the many texts I have been exchanging over the last few days said. What Donald Trump is engaging in is overt market manipulation. Trump allies like Joe Lonsdale from F8VC, that's a venture capital firm, are sending tactical trading guides to closely connected people in venture capital and within the MAGA universe. And they are telegraphing what is going to happen. The volatility and the chaos is the point. It permits those on the inside who have specific knowledge of particular timing to move suddenly with advance notice. My friend continues, I know someone who made $10 million yesterday doing just this. He was mistakenly left on a distribution list after he left a particular venture capital company years ago. This is why Donald Trump floated the initial 90-day pause, got the stock market up, then denied it, then did it after all. It's why he may be issuing and said today he may extend it. All of these things are opportunities. Each time he whipsaws back and forth, these are opportunities for those in the MAGA universe to get paid. It is a Faustian bargain of epic proportions. Facebook, you stop content monitoring. Elon Musk, you're not about free speech. You're about suppressing it to lift up authoritarian speech, racist speech, sexist speech. And guess what you get for selling your soul to me, Donald Trump? You get the inside goods because it is a good day to get richer. That is Donald Trump. It is overt, out in the open corruption. My friend in his text message to me continues, if you look at it and compare it to the crypto pump and dump, it is the identical pattern. They just successfully manipulated the U.S. stock market and the global markets. This is what is going on, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean to make light of this, but I am recall a saying that I've heard a few times, which is real pain for my sham friends, while we get champagne for my real friends. For Donald Trump, that means real pain for the middle class and champagne and caviar dreams for my rich friends in the billionaire class. That is what this is breaking down to be. I am disgusted by it. And so should you be. And when we look at people like Ron Johnson, we look at people like Tim Michaels, what is their qualification to be in the United States Senate? What is Tim Michaels' qualification to be in the Senate or a governor's seat? It's nothing more than I'm on the inside with all of the rest of the billionaire class. I don't want to see this anymore. It is so disturbing. Now, I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to do it tomorrow because I want to move on to something that's a little bit more uplifting because we've had so much deeply disturbing news this week. Tomorrow, I am going to spend some time explaining to you why what Donald Trump has said about his tariff policy, that they actually, you know, used this formula, which was algebraic gibberish, to calculate these tariffs, is actually a bunch of garbage. And this isn't just my analysis. This is coming directly from The Economist, whose work Donald Trump claimed to use to set his tariff schedule. I want to give shout outs to some of our amazing texters on our text line. You want to get in your thoughts, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jennifer from Wisconsin Rapids saying, boy, Donald Trump sounds old. Steve from Milwaukee pointing out that in the option market, which is options are futures. What is a future? A future is your ability with a contract to buy a stock or bond or other security sometime in the future, which you can bet on markets going down or up. In other words, prices of certain commodities going down or up with options, aka futures. Some call options yesterday went up 2,000% in one day. Steve also weighing in with me. Martha Stewart went to jail for less. But, you know, as it goes, Steve, she was a real pain in everybody's butt, so that meant we could lock her up. Nothing worse than a woman in charge with a lot of opinions and maybe not the softest edges. Woo! Cam from Appleton weighing in. Adam Schiff, he's pointing out, had a lot to say about Donald Trump undermining our confidence in markets. Here is what Senator Schiff wrote on X yesterday. Trump is creating giant market fluctuations with his on-again, off-again tariffs. These constant gyrations in policy provide dangerous opportunities for insider trading. Who in the administration knew about Trump's latest tariff flip-flop ahead of time? Did anyone buy or sell stocks and profit at the public's expense? I'm writing to the White House. The public has the right to know. Does anybody actually think Pam Bondi or the Security and Exchange Commission is going to do some kind of investigation? Should we all hold our breath waiting for that to happen? Please don't. You'll end up passing out. Oh, and by the way, of course, as Cam reminds me, presidential immunity. Want to also give a shout out to Joshua from Wausau. He's been saying this since Trump put in place the first tariff. Hear, hear, sir. We come back. We're going to have a one-day delayed, shortened episode of Over the Hump and Trump. Over the Hump and Trump. Here's my question to each and every one of you. How have you changed your mind on something big? What motivated you to do so? And how do we use those insights to help change hearts and minds today? My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the last segment of today's Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I wanted to talk to everybody for this last segment a little bit about why your mind changed about something really important to you. Conservative Bob on the text line says this: my big change was I used to be a Democrat until the party went crazy, and now I'm a conservative. And Bob, thanks for sharing that, because I want to use it as a jumping off point. That's actually not how people's minds change. Being fed a constant stream of rhetoric is not how someone's mind really truly changes. It can be a form of brainwashing. And maybe tomorrow I'll get a bit to what Friedrich Hayek said about that, about the fall of democracies. By the way, Friedrich Hayek, a much vaunted economist and thinker of the neoconservative and conservative movement. So I'll talk a little bit about that, but just deciding somebody else is crazy isn't really changing your mind. Being fed a constant stream of racialized hate speech isn't how your mind gets changed. Often your mind gets changed when your heart opens to other people, often through sharing directly and hearing the impacts of your beliefs on other people's lives. I call it radical empathy. And just such a thing happened very recently right here in Wisconsin. When Larry Jones went to the Wisconsin State Capitol on March 12th, he didn't know that he was going to have his heart changed and therefore his mind changed. He's an 85-year-old self-described conservative who was invited by his grandson to a public hearing on a Republican-authored bill to ban gender-affirming care in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm getting this coverage from a piece by Hallie Clayfin in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So Mr. Jones decided to make the short drive to Milwaukee. In his conversation with reporter Clayfin for the Journal Sentinel, he said this, okay, I thought I'd go up there and listen to people moaning about some kind of problems. I'd sit for a couple hours and be long gone. Well, Mr. Jones sat for 7 hours listening to people testify for up to 2 minutes on both sides of this legislation. And after listening to what people had to say for nearly 7 hours, the 85-year-old self-described conservative, Larry Jones, signed up to speak. And this is what Mr. Jones had to say.
So, all right, Larry, the floor is yours. You got 2 minutes.
First of all, I'd like to apologize to you people. I was invited here to give my support for Bill 401. I have very little knowledge of gay people and things like that there. So when I came here, my eyes were open. I was one of the critics that sat on the side and made the decisions that was only two genders. So I got an education that was unbelievable. And I don't know just exactly how to say this, but my perspective for people have changed. So I don't want to take up no more of your time. I'd like to apologize for being here, and I learned a very lot about this group of people. All right.
And that is how minds change, through radical empathy, through opening your heart to listen to the experiences of other people. If an 85-year-old man who decided to drive an hour and a half from Milwaukee to Madison to speak in support of a GOP-authored bill to ban gender-affirming care could spend 7 hours listening and have his mind change, I ask you, can you open your heart? Can you open your mind to other information and other experiences and genuinely listen to people? Do you have the courage to do that and to let your mind, your heart, be changed? This is the moment that we are in. To get past the rhetoric and the talking points. This is the moment, not of right and left, of right and wrong, and the right thing to do begins with the humility of the open heart. And I truly believe that each and every one of you listening has the courage, the humility, and the strength to open your heart and listen to people who have maybe had different life experiences than you have. I applaud Mr. Jones for his courage to stand up and say, I was one of the critics that sat on the side and made the decision that there were only two genders, and I'd like to apologize for being here. This is democracy, but it only works with open minds and open hearts. Let's see if we can do that this week. My name is Maggie Dawn. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together with open minds and open hearts. Take care.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.